Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. We are loaded. It is a Wednesday. Or did the rain wash away Wednesday in L.A.? Is it a Thursday? Who knows? It never stops raining. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac is joining us. All sorts of different stuff today to talk about. World Baseball Classic. I haven't seen the ratings yet. I'm sure it got a huge, huge rate. When baseball provides urgency, people watch. So the sport needs to do a better job of providing urgency. Little League World Series gets a number. The College Baseball World Series did. At Field of Dreams game, this thing's getting great numbers. It's wildly fun.
Exciting drama last night on the diamond.
Yeah. It was. It's interesting. About maybe 6 months ago, I said Shohei Ohtani is, like, you know, significantly better than Babe Ruth. Most people got it. But you think of big Babe Ruth, big-chested. Shohei Ohtani is actually bigger and actually built. He is not just the best player in the game. There's nothing really to compare him to. He would be like if Bob Gibson and Ted Williams morphed. It's like Mookie Betts and Verlander in his prime morphed. There's nothing like him. Babe Ruth quit pitching at 24 years old mostly. Shohei Ohtani is 28. He's just starting. He's going to get a $600 million contract. You can absolutely validate $250 million as a pitcher and $350 million as a hitter. The game now is global. He is significantly better than virtually every hitter and every pitcher. Last couple of years, he's top three in jacks. Last couple of years, he's top three in ERA. Oh, he also runs really, really well. He's everything. What do you compare it to? It's as if Patrick Mahomes and Sauce Gardner were one guy. And that's seriously what it's like. It would be like if Patrick Mahomes also played corner. He didn't go to the sidelines. He just went to the other side and was arguably the best corner, shutdown corner in the league. And the Dodgers, this is where Shohei Ohtani is going to end up. He's now with the Angels. He's going to go to the Dodgers. They let Justin Turner go and Trey Turner go and Cody Bellinger go. And they signed their payroll now is only fifth. They easily outdraw the rest of baseball. Nobody's even close. They draw 10,000 more a game than everybody else. And this kid, 62 million people watched in Japan for one of the games. He has massive drawing power. It's when A-Rod went to the Yankees, it wasn't about selling out the stadium on Friday and Saturday. It was about getting people to a Yankee game, filling out the the stadium on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. And the Dodgers, again, that place is packed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some Sunday afternoon games. He'll sell out the Mondays and Tuesdays or get them real close to it. And they already blow everybody away. So they have moved off some payroll. They're going to pay $550 to $600 million for Shohei Ohtani. It's just really remarkable what he does. There's nothing that really compares to it. Whenever I hear baseball people romanticize about the past, it wasn't a global game. NBA, but it's not just baseball. NBA diehards. Oh, I just roll my eyes at it. The Knicks, the Pacers, what an Eastern Conference Finals. 7 of the 10 starters couldn't shoot an 18-foot jumper. Very few guys could handle the ball. John Starks, the best guard for the Knicks, couldn't shoot. The game is so much better now in the NBA. The skill level's 1,000 times better. It's so much more international. And so is baseball. Everybody dials into the 90s now. Everybody pitches 90s. A lot of guys pitch in the mid-90s. Everybody has some power. I can remember years ago in the mid-70s, there was a baseball team, the Cincinnati Reds. They had Johnny Bench and Tony Perez and Pete Rose and George Morgan and George Foster, and they were the big red machine. They had three guys in that lineup, well, actually four if you count the pitcher, who couldn't hit home runs. Dave Concepcion, Cesar Geronimo, Pete Rose didn't hit homers, and neither did the pitchers. So like 40% of the lineup couldn't hit jacks. I mean, what Ohtani is doing, it just doesn't even make any sense at all. He's dominating a sport that is now global. Everybody throws in the mid-90s. Everybody can hit, it feels like, for some power. And he's dominating on both sides. Here's him punching out Mike Trout to end the World Baseball Classic. Japan goes 8-0, and the USA manager talked after.
Ohtani's ready. Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world!
You know what blows me away on the stage, Tyler, is the fact that he seems to, like, no moment's too big for him. I've analyzed him for years since he's come over here. What he's doing in the game is what probably 90% of the guys in that clubhouse did in Little League or in youth tournaments, and he's able to pull it off on the biggest stages. He is a unicorn to the sport.
He will draw for the Dodgers. He'll get $550 million. You can see him pulling back on payroll, and he'll be worth every penny. Shohei Ohtani, congrats to Japan. So I thought this was an interesting story. You know how sometimes I always felt this way with Chris Paul, is that in his prime, Chris Paul with the Clippers or the Rockets or even the Suns, if you added Chris Paul to your team, he solved a lot of issues. You'd have more maturity. You'd have a distributor. You'd have an on-court coach leader. He could give you 17 points. He could defend. He could do so many things, one player. He could solve your issues. When he went to Phoenix, they were a young team with talent but no maturity. Solve that. They weren't good enough defensively. Solve that. They didn't really have a true leader. Solve that. Chris Paul's always been great about that. I mean, what happened to Blake Griffin post-Chris Paul? Or DeAndre Ayton? Like, he was their leader. He elevated everybody. There are these certain players that can solve multiple issues. He was perfect in Phoenix. Even the good Houston team he went to got better by 10 games, although he and Harden didn't work. So there's a story out today about Lamar Jackson is just like done with Baltimore. So he's not going to be unemployed, right? He's too talented. He's won like 75% of his games. And I thought to myself, kind of the Chris Paul feel, wouldn't he be perfect in New England? I mean, we know their defense is good. We know their coach is good. Their owner's stable. Special teams are excellent. What do they miss? They don't have any playmakers. They're slow. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, and I'm pretty sure he will, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Tua and that head coach. Did you watch the Super Bowl, Mr. Belichick? Like, it's over. The Niners, the Eagles defense, could not slow down Patrick Mahomes in the second half. The game has changed. The best coaches are offensive coaches. It's Kyle Shanahan, it's McVay, it's Andy Reid. Sean Payton just got a boatload of money to fix Denver. Lamar Jackson's perfect in New England. They're not good at offense. They can't draft offense. I looked at a list this morning of the last receivers that New England has drafted. I think it was, yeah, the Patriots wide receiver draft pick since 2010. I won't read all of them for our radio audience. It's unbelievable how bad they are. There's not a star in the mix. There's almost not a player in the mix. They can't draft offense. The last offensive player they drafted and was a Pro Bowler, I think, was Gronk. He's now retired. They put a DC at OC. The top offensive coordinators, are they even interested in the job there? Like, they've got a hole in the organization. They don't know offense. They don't have touch for it, a feel for it, a sensibility for it. And when Brady left and Josh McDaniel left, it got really bad really fast. They can't get Josh Allen off the field. They'd have to get through Burrow and Mahomes. Lamar Jackson's your Chris Paul. He gives you a dynamic playmaker, massive speed, the only two things you're missing. And oh, by the way, you move Mac Jones. I know he's got a ceiling, but Mac Jones got to a playoff, I think, as a rookie, didn't he? You can't tell me there's not a market. There's not a market for Mac Jones. There's a market for Jimmy Garoppolo, and he can't stay healthy. There's a market for everybody. I mean, Baker Mayfield's still getting offers for starting jobs. Mitch Trubisky, Steelers thought he would start for the year. Mac Jones wouldn't. He's cheap. He's accurate. Smart kid, got somebody to the playoffs. But to me, when I look at New England, you have to acknowledge what you are and what you're not. They don't do offense well. Brady, I mean, he was Bondo. He was a Band-Aid. He solved a lot of their issues. He left. They weren't the same. McDaniel left. After Brady left, it's a disaster. They're not fast, and they got no playmakers, and they clearly can't draft them. Go sign the quarterback playmaker in the league. Somebody will give you a third for Mac Jones, maybe a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, John Morant is a spectacular spectacular basketball talent. Reminds me a lot of Derrick Rose. Above the rim, you'd pay to watch him play. Neither are great shooters, but they're spectacular, and there is room for accolades for guys like Ja Morant and Russell Westbrook. Some players I don't even love. I like Ja Morant a lot. I've never thought he's a guy that's most valuable. They were very good last year when he got hurt, and this year they've won 6 of 7 without him. Memphis is just fine without him. They don't have as spectacular a finisher as Ja Morant, but they're fine without him, well-run, well-coached, and deep. So he's going to lose out on $30 million or more unless he makes the All-NBA team, first, second, or third team. And he's not – there's a bunch of awards that kick in if he wins them. He's not going to win an MVP, so let's get rid of that. He's not that valuable. It is best. If he played every game, he's not an MVP. Giannis is. Steph Curry is. There are players that are simply more valuable. He's spectacular. All-NBA defense, I don't think he's going to make that either. So his chance to get this big bonus was All-NBA as a guard. There's a lot of great guards in the NBA. So first team, I'd have Luka and Steph Curry, and I'm not arguing with you. Those are the two best. Second team, I'd go Dame in Portland and SGA, the guard for Oklahoma City, who is just a phenomenal talent. And third team, you get down to Devin Booker, probably not because of injuries, De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, and Ja Morant. And I'm sorry, but it's the end of the year. You're looking for seeding, and Ja Morant's not available. Now, Devin Booker's been banged up. I would put him in over Ja Morant because at least his are injury-related. There's nothing you can do about that. Ja Morant's issues are Ja Morant's issues. You can talk about Donovan Mitchell, but I'm sorry. Donovan Mitchell here in crucial March has been unbelievable, averaging 29 points a game. This is a franchise, if you take LeBron James out of it, always been kicked around the league, it feels like, last 25 years. Donovan Mitchell's come over, been a great teammate, been dominating in March, and Cleveland in the loaded top of the East is fourth and spectacular and fun to watch. Where's Ja? He's not available. Because he brandished a gun, nightclub, video, personal issues. I can have empathy for somebody, feel bad for somebody, but actions have consequences. Well, what about De'Aaron Fox? Are you kidding me? Losing Sacramento is now a number three seed. Do you know he has more clutch points than any guard in the NBA? He also leads the NBA in fourth quarter points. So as everybody's trying to figure out who's going to get the best seeding in the West, De'Aaron Fox is out there every night, most clutch points, best fourth quarter player. Where's Ja Morant? He's not available. The NBA too often, and they do this because they need access to the best players and best agents, pander. Ja Morant is not making All-NBA. He's not available. Mitchell's in a tight race in the East is crushing almost 30 a game. De'Aaron Fox has taken a losing franchise and is Mr. Fourth Quarter. He's not Steph. He's not that dependable as Dame or as mature as Dame. SGA, how in the world can you explain how good Oklahoma City is? We thought they were like a 15-win team. You can't even explain that. And Memphis is winning once again without Ja Morant. Ja Morant's got to figure out Ja Morant, but too much pandering. Actions have consequences. There's too many guards, and this is March. Seeding matters. I mean, let's be honest about this. In the East, you know, if you're Cleveland, you'd rather not play a Game 7 in a Boston. It'd be nice if you could potentially ever face the Celtics, play it at home. A Game 7 for a Sacramento, do you want to play that, you know, on the road, or do you want to be in Sacramento? These games matter. Next 10, 15 games matter, and they matter a lot. And Ja Morant has not been available down the stretch.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the Carolina Panthers are sending 11 representatives, owner, his wife, the GM, the coach, Frank Reich, 11 representatives to Columbus, Ohio for the pro day. I think it's Columbus, it's somewhere, for C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of the Buckeyes. Now, what I think they're doing psychologically, they want to bring a massive staff to put a little pressure on C.J. Stroud, see how he reacts to it. They want to make sure everybody knows that 11 people are showing up. The entire franchise is showing up. Going to put a little pressure on him. So as a two-year starter for C.J. Stroud, it's interesting. He never really had a bad game. He had a couple of games with two picks, but they were bad weather games. He played a game in Nebraska where it was blowing sideways. But they lost to Oregon at Columbus, but he threw for 484 yards. It was the Buckeyes defense that stunk, and Oregon went up and down the field. He lost to Michigan, but he threw for 350 yards, and Michigan was also great. You know, I was thinking about this with C.J. Stroud. My prediction is he won't be a bust for Frank Reich. He won't be a bust. And I'll give you an example. So we know that Frank Reich gave Andrew Luck his most efficient season, and we know he gave Carson Wentz his last really good season. And he also took prehistoric Phillip Rivers to the playoffs. Phillip had better seasons in his prime, but it was a really impressive thing. Phillip Rivers, we thought he was shot. He got 11 wins. They went to Buffalo and gave the Bills a real game, playoff game. But it's what he did with Jacoby Brissett that's fascinating. And this is why. C.J. Stroud has more talent, that's no question, than Jacoby Brissett. About the same size, I think, but C.J. Stroud is a better talent. High school, college, he's a better player. So this is what's interesting. Frank Reich in 2019 coached the Colts. T.Y. Hilton missed like 7-8 games, something like that. Jonathan Taylor wasn't there yet. That was the next draft. It was an abysmal offense. And Jacoby Brissett, 3-1 touchdown ratio, 61% completion percentage, and a passer rating 88-89. Now you say to yourself, well, what a big deal. His stats that year, Jacoby Brissett, where they didn't have a number one running back, and the leading receiver that year in many games, their top receiver was Zach Pascal. Jacoby Brissett ended up with a passer rating, a completion percentage, and a touchdown to interception ratio equal in the ballpark of Andy Dalton's career. Andy Dalton's a three-time Pro Bowler in the AFC. A three-time Pro Bowler. So, yeah, we know he got an old Phillip Rivers to the AFC playoffs, better conference. We know the last good year Carson Wentz wasn't a tire fire. It was Frank Reich. We know what he did with Andrew Luck. But it's what he did with Jacoby Brissett that's pretty remarkable. And when you get into trouble in the NFL is when you have a bust, when you have a Paxton Lynch, a Ryan Leaf, a Johnny Manziel. Then you got to pivot quickly and you get very desperate as a franchise. Even Andrew Luck's quick retirement, the Colts have never been the same. I don't think you're going to get that with C.J. Stroud. I think he's going to end up being efficient. I don't see a lot of magic, a lot of juice. I don't see a lot of it. But if he was Kirk Cousins, he's bigger than Kirk Cousins. He's accurate like Kirk Cousins. He runs better than Kirk Cousins. I don't know. You can do worse than Kirk Cousins. He throws a better ball than Dak, much more accurate. It looks like he runs about as well as Dak. He's a two-year starter. He didn't really have any awful games at Ohio State. Now, it's Ohio State. But, you know, I'm sitting around thinking about what Frank Reich's done in his career, not just with stars, but with Jacoby Brissett in 2019. Nothing to work with. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't qualify as a number one pick, but right now, Carolina, after the Baker stuff, the Kyle Allen stuff, the Sam Darnold stuff, they just got to get out of chaos. They got to get out of desperation. And if C.J. Stroud chops it up today at the pro day, I could absolutely look and say he'll be efficient, he'll be productive. Remember, he's not entering the AFC West. It's the NFC South, the worst quarterback division maybe ever for a season. I mean, pre-Derek Carr, it was a tire fire. So my guess is I don't see a lot of spectacular. But, you know, we had TJ Hushmanzada on this show earlier this week. He's the one that told me, Colin, when I said Joe Burrow was Tony Romo, Tony Romo was good, by the way. He said, no, he's better than that. When I said I like Justin Herbert, he said, you better love Justin Herbert. When I was a critic of Josh Allen, he said, he's going to be a star. He said, C.J. Stroud, he'd take him number one.
What I like about C.J. is this is off the field. Whoever the 50, and I've told people this, whoever's the 53rd guy on the roster, he's going to make them feel like they're the first guy on the roster. That's just who he is. C.J. needs to go somewhere where the coach believes in him. You got guys that can make plays because he's a little more fiery than Bryce is, a little more talkative than what Bryce is. But I would probably go, I'd probably go CJ.
How about that? That's something, is it not? Something.
I listened to that rant. I digested all of it. My question back to you is, do you trade up for someone who definitely won't be a bust? Because that's basically the best you can say about CJ Stroud. And you said he didn't really have a terrible game.
Okay.
I was just reading about the Michigan game. Do you remember that, the one before the Georgia game?
You mean the really bad weather game when you're playing in inclement weather?
Both quarterbacks were playing in inclement weather, but okay. At halftime, Ohio State was in great shape. They were looking awesome.
Yeah.
Michigan and Jim Harbaugh adjusted in the second half. Yeah. CJ Stroud didn't do jack squat. I like Stroud. I just want to paint the picture of both sides.
Now, your question is, do you move up in the draft to get somebody that's not a bust? Well, I'm saying not a bust, being I think he could be productive. Quarterback is a little different, right? Like, if you're in chaos at quarterback, you're in chaos as a franchise. If you're at chaos at cornerback or outside linebacker, you can make the playoffs. But if you're in chaos, it's like being in Phoenix. I don't need the best pool. I need a pool. Got to have a pool in Phoenix. Got to have a coat in Alaska. Yeah. I don't have to be, I cannot be in chaos at one position in this league. I can be bad everywhere. Bad at quarterback, everybody loses their job. Sometimes you move up to just avoid chaos.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I watched the Celtics-Kings last night, first three quarters, then fell asleep. It's raining here. I fall asleep in the rain, okay? So there's a story out this week. Jaylen Brown, who came from Cal, he came out of college as a really good athlete. Danny Ainge drafted him. He just gets better and better and better every year. He's having his best year. Just a really good player. And people asked him about the rumors about KD was going to join the Celtics, and he said, you know, listen, I know that Tatum and KD were close, but his name always pops up whenever there's a trade rumor. And it's funny because Robert Williams is always hurt. Really good defensive center, struggles to stay healthy. Marcus Smart could be the soul of the team, but I feel like he's limited offensively, a little inconsistent that side of the floor. And when you play that good a defense for that many years, you wear down a little. And then there's Al Horford, who's a little old and creaky. And so it's like, but Jaylen Brown's name always comes up. And, you know, I think to myself, isn't he really, there's two things that everybody, every general manager in the NBA is seeking two things. One, a superstar, Giannis, LeBron, Steph, whatever. You get one of those a decade. And I'm not talking one per team. I mean, you may get one to two of those a decade, period. One Magic, one Michael, one Shaq, one a decade, two a decade. And the other thing everybody is seeking is a guy that comes in, works his ass off, no drama, willing defender, and gets better every year. Every GM is looking for a guy that's willing to play some defense, coachable, no drama, and he just keeps getting better and better. And he gets along with a star. Isn't that Jaylen Brown? I mean, he's only 26 years old and Tatum's only 25. The only fault for those two guys so far, they're not Giannis or Steph. That's it. Well, right now, the Celtics are in a better spot than 28 of 30 teams. They do not have Steph and they do not have Giannis. I would take where they're at over everybody. And I do think it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I think J-Mac said on the air, would you take KD for Jaylen Brown? And I think I made a mistake when I said it. I said, I would. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, time out. Forget that KD got hurt. Forget that. But what the league, what everybody is looking for, like in the NFL, everybody's looking for a Patrick Mahomes. That's the one thing everybody's looking for. A superstar quarterback. You win rings. You make millions as a coaching staff. Everybody keeps their job. You're a consistent playoff team. I mean, you'd like to have a left tackle that's great. You'd like to have a great rush end. Everybody's seeking the same thing. In the NBA, there's two things everybody's seeking. A star, right? Like a star player. But then you need, because by and large, you need three stars to win a championship. Then you're looking for a guy who's a star, no drama, willing defender, and gets better every year. That literally is Jaylen Brown. So the Celtics, like Oklahoma football, are always good, rarely great. The Celtics have one title in 37 years. That's about Oklahoma football. Oklahoma's not firing. Bob Stoops won a championship early. They weren't going to run him off. Lincoln Riley was probably going to leave, so they gave Lincoln Riley the job. It's like Brad Stevens moved upstairs, but, you know, you can only coach for so long in the NBA. Pat Riley eventually moved upstairs as well. But I don't know. When I watched the Celtics last night, classic example, Jaylen Brown does what Jaylen Brown does, gives you his 27. They run the Kings off the floor. You got to be careful. Like, Boston may never win a championship. Either did Utah. You're not going to trade Stockton and Karl Malone. What you're trying to find, if Robert Williams never got hurt, I think they could have beaten the Warriors last year. I think you're always worried about Robert Williams and resting him, and can he play here, and But I don't know. Jaylen Brown's a really good basketball player. No drama. Plays on both ends. Gets along with the star, Jason Tatum. I don't know. That feels like after getting Giannis, that's what everybody in the league is trying to get. Jaylen Brown. First, Durant. Curry, Giannis. Second, Jaylen Brown. And there's only about six guys in the league at any one time in my entire life, maybe four, could be three, that are true superstars, like Kobe, Shaq. The league just doesn't have many of them. We have now Giannis, Luka. I mean, and the kid that's going to get drafted probably in the lottery.
Wembanyama.
That will be the third guy. He'll walk in and drop 25 a night. You can't block his shot.
So is Jaylen Brown, to go back to the discussion last hour we didn't finish, is he a premier number two player in the league?
Absolutely.
Or can he be a centerpiece number one like Jason Tatum?
I think he's a premier number two. You know, by the way, Klay Thompson is going to make the Hall of Fame. He's a premier number two. Anthony Davis is a two to LeBron. Anthony Davis is going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, Pippen, A great number two. I covered Pippen in Portland. He wasn't a great offensive player. He was a slasher.
Jaylen Brown is Scottie Pippen-ish, but not as good of a defender and a better offensive player, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. But, I mean, go ask yourself, what's the league looking for?
Exactly,
you know,
him.
One LeBron comes in a decade. One Magic comes in a decade. You're not getting that. That's usually a bad team wins a lottery. I mean, that's what you get. What you're looking for is Jaylen Brown. Yeah. Hard worker, no drama, defender, and just keeps whittling away at it, masonry, brick after brick after brick gets better.
Against the Warriors, he'll maybe get matched up with Steph Curry, and then in the next round against the Lakers or whatever, he'll be matched up with Anthony Davis on a couple possessions.
But I could see where Jaylen Brown's like tired of it. I could be like, I'm giving you 27 a night. I get along with a star. I'm 26. What do you want from me? If we had Giannis or Steph, we'd win everybody in this league. I mean, Celtics are always good. Just be careful about taking a big swing to get great. What do I always say? Don't get happier than happy. Boston's really good. All it takes is a twisted ankle from Drew Holiday. You could get into the finals.
By the way, Chris Middleton or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody views Middleton because he has a title as, oh, he's so good. He's amazing.
And I like Chris Middleton, but yeah, Jaylen Brown is a
far more complete player.
And he's not hurt much. Middleton's getting a little creaky, a little older.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So all you Paul George haters, he got hurt last night, and I think Paul George is a great player. So here's a prime example how you get framed. You get framed because of a game, a moment. Tony Romo threw a couple of like bad fourth quarter interceptions, and people are like, Tony Romo's not clutch. He's got a top five. At one point, he had a top five fourth quarter passer rating in league history. But he's a Cowboy, and he had a couple of big, crucial interceptions in the fourth. You guys all think Aaron Rodgers is a great fourth quarter comeback quarterback. He's not, but the ones he's had are memorable. So Paul George has a reputation that he stinks in the playoffs. Let's look it up. In the regular season, he averages a point less a game than he does in the playoffs in his career. In the regular season, he averages a rebound less a game than he does in the playoffs. In the regular season, he averages half an assist fewer in the regular season than the playoffs. So he scores more in the playoffs. He rebounds more in the playoffs. His assists go up in the playoffs. Now, he shoots slightly worse field goal and worse 3-point. Yeah, so does Steph Curry in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, you're facing rested teams who are playing you night after night after night after night, so they build game plans for you specifically. Everybody's equally rested. The best defenses in the NBA end up advancing in the playoffs. Half the teams in the league play no defense. Those teams aren't playoff teams. So you go to the playoffs, Steph Curry's shooting percentage, field goal 3-point goes down. So does Paul George. But his points, rebounds, and assists all go up against better coaches, better defenses, and better teams. But it's been framed as, well, he doesn't hit the big shot. You go back to Paul George with the Pacers, and that team had Roy Hibbert, defensive-minded coach Frank Vogel, George Hill, Paul George. They gave the Heatles fits. Fits! Hibbert's not a scorer. They gave LeBron, Wade, Bosch, Ray Allen, Battier. They gave him fits. Really tough outs because of Paul George. And then he goes to the Thunder with Westbrook, no day at the beach. He averages 24 a game, 6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shoots 44% from the floor and almost 40% three-point shooting. Everybody's field goal percentage, it's just like in baseball. It's harder to get hits in the playoffs because you face the best pitchers. It's hard. You don't get to face the A's, You don't get to face the Royals and the Pirates and the Reds and the dregs of Major League Baseball, the Orioles. You're facing the best staffs and the best arms and the best relievers. So this idea that Paul George is just some playoff flame out, I've never bought into it. Like, it's for years and years, prime example, Kobe had a reputation. Great, great fourth quarter player. No, you want to know who is statistically? LeBron. And if you remember LeBron's first decade in this league, before he won a title, it was that he wasn't clutch. It was nonsense. He was the only guy in Cleveland the first 7 years that was clutch. He was the only one. He was surrounded by a bunch of second-tier guys. They couldn't get him an all-star. So I will defend Paul George to the end. Paul George is going to give you 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and he's going to give you 35 minutes on the floor. He plays both ends of the floor, which not that many guys do. He's going to give you great defensive effort, good offensive game. I'm a huge Paul George fan. And by the way, he's not also people like Kawhi better than Paul George, but Kawhi is nonverbal. Kawhi also, he's great, but like he'll come into the arena at 3:45 and say, I'm not playing tonight. My knee's sore. You kind of don't know what you're, he's hard to coach. I've heard this from multiple people. He can be a hard teammate. You're never quite sure. Paul's verbal. Paul communicates. Everybody likes Paul. Yeah. How about that? You like produce? How do you like them apples?
Nonverbal Kawhi got a clutch technical foul last night for barking at a ref. Did you see Kawhi?
Did you see that weird possession by Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah. 20 seconds on the shot clock.
What in the hell was that?
He didn't even get a shot off.
That was terrible.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation does as well. Go to MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, 8 new models. So I saw this story today from Pro Football Talk. They said the Jets need to act like New Yorkers. It said the Jets need to go on the offensive today. Aaron Rodgers should tell the Packers that if he's not traded before the start of training camp, he'll be showing up like Brett Favre did. He's just going to show up. And they'll just stay there until he's traded. That he fully expects to be in camp, and it would force them to make a move. Well, it sounds great. The problem, of course, is Aaron wants the summers off, and it's probably not going to be the worst thing in the world if he gets guaranteed money and doesn't have to go to camp. Again, he's not Burrow. He's not ascending. He's not Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Trevor Lawrence. He's an old, fat, rich guy. I mean, he's got money. He wants summers off. He's doing speaking engagements. He's playing golf. So the urgency play... Aaron moved about 5 years ago into the RELAX kind of mindset, which it's his right, but he's no longer an ascending young guy hungry for the big contract. And so, although I think this is a really good idea, if the Jets said, Aaron, go on the offensive, he wants to have the summers off. He's got no urgency at all. I always say this, indifference is the killer. Like, what are you going to do with somebody that's indifferent? You're a sales manager. You're trying to motivate a salesperson. Okay, I'll pay you more if you do this, this, this. But their husband or wife makes a lot of money, and they're like, I make enough money. There's nothing you can do with indifference. And Aaron, at this point, off-season, just going to hang out with friends and golf. All right, you're right. There's nothing you can do with it. So, great idea. I don't think it would work.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.